Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Thursday's edition of the West Fresno Democratic Club's Blog Talk Radio program. And I want to welcome everybody today, February 28, 2009, the last day of the official Black History Month celebration that's been going on nationwide, from the East Coast to the Best Coast, the West Coast. And I want to thank all of you for listening. I hope all of you are listening. And I just wanted to give you an update on the things that are going to be going on here locally. West Fresno Democratic Club meets the third Saturday of every month. This month, we are going to be having our monthly meeting at New Light for New Life Church at 1106 West Woodward, and that's at the corner of Woodward and Channing in Southwest Fresno on the Golden West side of Fresno. So once again, if you're interested in coming to the West Fresno Democratic Club's monthly meeting, it's going to be the third Saturday of the month, which I believe is March 16th, and it's going to be held at the Freedom Center at New Light for New Life Church at 1106 West Woodward, the corner of Woodward and Channing on the Golden West side of Fresno. And I hope that all of you can come out and support the West Fresno Democratic Club, a charter club of the local Democratic Party. Now, getting to the things that I wanted to cover tonight, I wanted to talk about two things. The first thing that I wanted to talk about was the Poor People's Campaign. Given that this was the last major movement that Dr. Martin Luther King had going on prior to his assassination in 1968, many people nationwide have decided to take up the mantle of this important movement and to become involved with the Poor People's Campaign. Now, some of you might have seen the interviews that Reverend William Barber had on PBS. And if you don't know who Reverend Barber is, you know, go on Facebook or look him up online and see. He is the face and the vanguard of the Poor People's Campaign. And understand that we are talking about something that is going to cross racial lines. We are talking about a moral revival. And in talking about this, we want to talk about what is known as the four pillars. So we're talking about fighting systematic racism. We're talking about eliminating poverty and inequality. We're talking about ecological devastation. And we're talking about a war, getting rid of a war economy and the over-militarism that is evident in our American society right now. So basically what this is a call for a national morality movement that has us thinking about the things that are almost an antithesis of what's going on in our country right now. Think about it, y'all. Think about this. We have an American president who, by his own words, is a sexual predator. He has bragged and commented on what he does to women, has done to women, and apparently is continuing to do to women. And one of the things that anybody who had a chance to watch any of Michael Cohen's testimony before Congress yesterday can attest to is the fact that Stormy Daniels, the porn star, was paid a significant amount of money to keep her mouth shut during the 2016 presidential campaign. Now, why would a candidate pay that kind of money, $250,000, to somebody if there was just smoke and no fire. And Michael Cohen produced a canceled check for $35,000 that was a partial payment. This was a personal check, y'all, that the president paid to his personal attorney as a down payment on the money that the attorney fronted to this adult film star. Now, why are we even talking about this? Well, let's go back to the late 80s and talk about the fact that Bill Clinton was practically impeached for lying not only about, you know, things like Whitewater, but for his sexual antics with various women. Now we have somebody in the White House who has no problem talking in very disturbing terms about women. Does not matter that he has daughters himself. Does not matter that he, you know, is married to a woman. Does not matter. So what does that tell us? That tells us that our morals and our values need to be reexamined. And one of the reasons that the Poor People's Campaign is so important to me at this point is because we are talking about basic American values. And for those of you who were raised like I was, you know, I was raised a good Baptist, and many black folks can identify with what I'm about to say, and probably other people of color as well. So my family was very religiously conservative, but socially progressive. Okay, so a lot of people in the black community could identify with MLK and went along with the civil rights movement because they could see, number one, it was grounded in the church. So you already had your foundation of morality, and you already had your foundation of values right there. So they had no problem going along with Dr. King. Now, as I got older and I decided to be a little bit more progressive politically, I think my political views lined up more with Malcolm X, and I had cousins who were, you know, in the Nation of Islam church and who were Black Panthers, but I digress. What I'm saying is that the Poor People's Campaign, the last social movement that Dr. King undertook before his assassination, and many people are starting to identify with the values and the beliefs that this movement entails. So when you, if you are curious about the Poor People's Campaign, I would urge you to go online, look up the Poor People's Campaign on either Facebook or Google or Yahoo or whatever your platform happens to be, and take a look at what it is that's important about this campaign. Now, one of the things that I'm very excited about that's going to be coming up shortly is the fact that the Poor People's Campaign is going to be hosting statewide hearings, and they're going to go from the top of California all the way to the bottom. But in between that, they're going to be stopping in Fresno, California on April 8th, which is a Monday. And what makes this so cool is the fact that we are going to be taking personal testimonies from people who are experiencing all the difficulties that so many of us are going through in this country: joblessness, abject poverty, healthcare issues, mental health issues, people who have fallen through the cracks, teenagers who are living on the street. And I would urge you to attend this hearing and give your testimony. And if you don't want to testify, if you want to be a witness to others who are testifying, I want you to be on the lookout for the location of this hearing, and we're trying to get just the right venue. So please stay tuned to, you know, your social media in the next couple of weeks, and all of that information is going to be posted. But local officials are going to be invited. The governor is going to be invited, and we'll see if they actually show up to these hearings, because this is not some publicity stunt. We are talking about people who have a real need. And if you are the parent of a child that you are struggling to support, if you are the grandmother who has a house full of grandchildren because your child is either in jail, dead, or just incapable of caring for their own children, if you are a senior that cannot afford your medicine, if you are a vet that's living on the street and you have some way to connect and hear the sound of my voice, I hope and I pray that you can attend this public hearing on April 8th here in Fresno. And we're going to let people know in plenty of time so that you can come. Please, please, please try to attend, because the more people that we get to attend and to testify, the more politicians and power brokers are going to be forced to listen to what it is that we have to say. You know, it's a miscommunication and a misunderstanding in this country that only politicians and rich people have any power. And so many of us don't really understand the fact that we are powerful, that the only power that should count in a democracy is people power. That's the only power that should count in a democracy. Let me say that again. The only power that should count in a democracy is people power. And until further notice, we are living in a democracy. We have a U.S. Constitution that states that. And those of us who are board members and chartered clubs, you know, it's funny because we have to take a pledge that we will uphold and defend the Constitution, just like they do in the military, just like politicians do. We have to take that pledge. And so it's ironic because being a progressive, people are like, well, Aline, you know, you can't have it both ways. Well, I'm not trying to have it both ways. I am a good citizen. I am somebody who sees what I see that is wrong in this country, and I am going to protest it. That is my job. That is my job as an American. That is my job as an African American. That is my job as part of the African diaspora. And so when I say all this verbiage and I'm talking, I'm not just talking to hear myself talk. I'm talking because while I don't have children, I have great nieces and nephews, and I am talking about securing the best possible future in this country for them. This is not about me. I have been working as an activist in Southwest Fresno since I was 18 years old and joined the Black Political Council. And those of you who remember the Black Political Council, it was founded by Dr. Jackie Hodge, and she served in a leadership capacity for quite a while in that. And that was a precursor to groups like BWAPA and BAPAC. Before those, before BWAPA and BAPAC, there was a Black Political Council. So, getting back to the Poor People's Campaign, there are steering committees up and down the state of California who right now are on the ground pulling together their communities to get ready for this tour that's going to happen, where people are going to be giving testimony and talking about what's going on with poor people in their communities. So I say to you right now, February 28th, 2019, if you care about your disadvantaged communities, if you care about the future of those communities, if you have issues with police brutality, if you have had a family member that was killed or beaten by the police and you could not get any satisfaction or justice, you need to be a part of this Four People's Campaign. There's no other way to put it. And we are living at a time where if you do not agree with the man who is sitting in the White House, then it would behoove you to get off the couch, get in the street, and raise your voice and let your voice be heard. And I say that to all of you because there are a lot of people who are going to be talking now about what's happening with the TCC money that's coming down the pike, supposedly for downtown Chinatown and Southwest Fresno. And I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but folks, I'm going to be 61 years old this year, and I have seen and heard a lot about what's going to happen in Southwest Fresno and how good it's going to be and how everybody's going to be happy. And everybody's going to benefit. Well, until I actually see it, I don't see it. Until I actually experience them hiring black and brown and Asian people to work on these new projects, it's hard for me to believe that they're actually happening. Because somehow, this is voodoo politics, voodoo magic with money. One thing is said and another thing is done. And I say that because for 40, 50 years, money that should have been funneled into Southwest Fresno per the general plan of the city of Fresno somehow got siphoned off and went to other parts of the city. So when somebody tells me, oh, we've got all this money that's coming through CCC and you know, we had community members who voted on it and, you know, everybody agreed that this is what's going to happen, well, excuse me for being suspect, but I've heard all that before. Malcolm once talked about being hoodwinked and bamboozled. So I will hold my judgment and try to stay positively optimistic about the TCC. And I congratulate all the people who submitted proposals and had their proposals accepted. I congratulate all of them because I've heard different stories about, you know, people who had to do an end run just to get their money. They were promised money, and then the next thing you know, poof, their proposal got yanked or pulled or whatever. I've even heard about groups who the city tried to pair up with other organizations and try to get the second organization to, you know, do something different in their proposal. And, you know, when that was refused, well, then both parties wound up losing out. So I'm saying all this to say, my friends, we have a lot of work to do. And we best get to it because we have several more years to suffer through number 45 and his minions. So if you will pay close attention to what's happening on Facebook, the internet, Twitter, YouTube, you will see that the racial tenor in this country has changed quite a bit. You will see that it is not just people of color who are being attacked, but it is people in the LGBTQ community who are being attacked and killed. You even have situations where children now are being attacked and nooses put around their neck and, you know, them being threatened with lynching. And for those of you familiar with Black history, you will know that night riders and lynchings were rampant in this country, And so when you have, and people wonder, okay, well, why is there such an uproar about nooses on, you know, chic garments or nooses being hung at somebody's house? Hanging a noose at somebody's house is like burning a cross. The message is implied. And the message is, nigga, we got a problem with you, and we want you dead. So, what I'm trying to say is that nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to change unless we change it. And I'm really hoping that many of you will decide that this is important enough for you to get involved with and make a part of your existence. You know, as far as I'm concerned, the Poor People's Campaign is family-friendly. There is nothing happening at a Poor People's event that you cannot bring your children to. You know, because what we're talking about is the truth that many of us are living. If you are struggling to make your rent, if you have to decide between paying your rent and buying food, if you have food insecurities, if you do not have medical coverage or you have insufficient medical coverage, if you are living in a neighborhood that has very poor schools that you send your children to every day, but your child is not learning, then the Poor People's Campaign is where you want to be. You want to get involved in this. And you want to stay involved in it. And you might wonder why, you know, is the president of the West Russell Democratic Club talking about the Poor People's Campaign? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because I was born and raised in a racially and economically disadvantaged area of the city of Fresno. I was born in Southwest Fresno, and I was raised in Southwest Fresno San Francisco, California. I spent 6 years in San Francisco between the ages of 6 and 12. So it comes to Southwest Fresno. But, you know, times are different now, folks. When I was, in Southwest Fresno, it was a different world. And I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't know I was poor until I got older. I did not realize that I was a disadvantaged child until I started going to school. And my white teachers explained to me that they expected nothing of me because my skin was black. I remember very well being a senior at Edison High School and being told by my guidance counselor that my best bet was to forget about college, forget about grad school, learn how to type, and try to get a secretary job. Now, I graduated from high school in 1976. And black girls were being told that they better learn to type and try and get a secretary's job. Well, being hard-headed and raised by hard-headed Texans, I didn't listen to that. I wound up going to Fresno State, and I wound up getting a BA in English and a minor in political science. And if I had been allowed to challenge a couple of courses, I would have gotten a minor in black studies. But once again, I digress. The subject here is the Poor People's Campaign for the next few minutes. And I just want to reiterate the four pillars that hold up the Poor People's Campaign, and it is the fight against systematic racism, the fight against poverty and inequality, the fight to end ecological devastation and the fight to dismantle a war economy and the rise of militarism in this country. And basically what we're talking about is a national morality movement. That is what we're talking about, people. And I wish I had some callers who were wanting to buy into this idea, but that's okay. Give yourself time for it to sink in and think about it. And please, please, please look up the PBS interviews with Reverend William Barber, and you'll understand why I'm so passionate about this particular thing. Okay, I am going to turn now to the second thing that I had on my agenda for today, and that is the upcoming first annual Progressive Black Summit of the Great Central Valley. Now, this is something that all y'all can get excited about. And I am putting the word out to black political progressives living between Stockton and Bakersfield. So I am putting a shout out to Mayor Michael Tubbs from Stockton. I'm putting a shout out to Sister Sharon Watts in Hanford. I'm putting a shout out to all black people who live in the Great Central Valley. If you are progressive and if you have progressive black views, I hope that you can attend this summit October 26th, which is Saturday, and October 27th here in Fresno, California. And we want you to come ready to listen and ready to talk about some solutions. Now, on October 26th, we are going to have a keynote speaker who is world-renowned for his expertise in juvenile justice. His name is James R. Bell, and he is the executive director of the W. Hayward Burns Institute in Oakland, California. Prior to that, it was in San Francisco, but it's in Oakland now. So it's in Oaktown now. And Mr. Bell, who has taught law at New College and when South Africa became a democracy, actually worked on the juvenile justice laws for South Africa. So this man is a known expert in juvenile justice. And so he is going to be our keynote speaker, and we're very, very excited about that. He's going to open our summit. And we're going to have four panels of this summit. So the first day, what's going to happen? I'm really excited about this, so y'all have to excuse me. So what's going to happen on the first day is that we're going to have a continental breakfast between 8:30 and 9:45. And at 10 a.m., we're going to have Mr. Bell, who is going to be our keynote speaker. And after that, he's probably going to go for about 30 minutes. After that, we're going to have our first panel, panel A, and we're going to be discussing mass incarceration and disruption of the pipeline. And that could be community to prison pipeline or school to prison pipeline. Take your pick, because it's big. And the second panel, panel B, is going to be education in the age of 45. And we have some really remarkable panelists for that. You know, we have Dottie Smith lined up, who is a former trustee for the State Community College Board. And we also have Dr. Malik Simba, who is a professor emeritus at Fresno State Africana Studies. I'm hoping to get Kahinde Sawalzi on this panel, but I have not had a chance to nail that down yet, so I don't want to announce him yet. We're going to have a break, and that's going to be the end of the activities for the first day. Now, the second day, on October 27th, we are going to have a community meal from, say, 1:30 to 2:45. And then we're going to have our panel C, which is our Black Business, Infrastructure, and Politics. And we have some really cool people lined up for this panel. And our one confirmation is Ms. Kaya Heron with the Fresno Black Metro Chamber of Commerce. And our panel D, which is on mind, body, and spirit, but now for Black progressives. That's a tentative on some of that, but I know that Reverend Dr. Floyd Harris is going to be on that panel, and he's going to be anchoring the discussion, because the truth of the matter is that we need to talk about where our spirituality is as progressives in this time that we are living. For many of us who have decided that, you know, religion just has no place in their lives, you know, I would urge them to think about, if not, you know, formal religion, think about spirituality, because our resilience and our future really is based on much of that. And I really was kind of hoping that I would have some callers tonight to talk about these two important things that are going to be happening in Fresno. The fact that the Poor People's Campaign, we're going to have those statewide that statewide hearing on April 8th, and then the Progressive Black Summit. So I put this query to you, listeners. What is the big question that Black progressives should be asking themselves now? Now, what is a progressive? A progressive is somebody who is not happy with the status quo. A progressive is somebody who does not mind speaking up and questioning the power structure. A progressive is somebody who is not afraid to speak truth to power. A progressive is somebody who can look across racial lines and still speak truth to power. A progressive is somebody that is not threatened by somebody else's sexuality. A progressive is somebody who recognizes that they're going to be thinking out of the box most of the time. And so it's a lonely road for many of us, you know. And being a member of the Democratic Party, I have been one my entire life, from the time that I was old enough to cast my first vote at 18 to the age that I am now at 61. Well, I'll be 61 in June, so I guess that's close enough. So what now, progressives? And I'm really talking about Black progressives right now. Sorry, everybody else. And if you're our ally, I commend you, because this is a hard walk for many of us. This is those of us who are willing to say what is difficult to say. This is for those of us who are willing to not give up and go ahead and say, well, you know, enough is enough. And I'm really hoping that we get a good turnout for, I'm really hoping that we get a good turnout for the April 8th Poor People's Campaign, the public hearing. And I hope to see all of you there. I am having some difficulty with my computer, and I am not going to be able to stay on. And so I apologize for that. This is going to be a very modified and short show. But in getting ready to sign off, I just want to say this. For those of you who are interested in what happens to the Black and brown and Asian people in Southwest Fresno, I urge you to attend the public hearing on April 8th of the Poor People's Campaign. You know, we hope that the politicians that we invite show up, but this is not a politician's kind of event. This is an event that is dedicated to the rank-and-file grassroots people who live in this community. So if you are struggling, if you are homeless, if you are hungry, if you need medical care and you can't get it, pardon me, this movement is one that I hope you sign on to. And if you get a chance, please go to the Poor People's Campaign, contact at poorpeoplescampaign.org, and check it out and see for yourself what is being done on your behalf nationwide. I want to thank everybody for listening. I'm sorry, I'm having some problems with my computer and I have to sign out. But I hope all of you will take to heart the fact that friction is the foodstuff of liberty. And none of us are going to continue to live in a free world unless we get up and fight for it. And I do mean fight. So West Russell Democratic Club is going to be holding its March meeting on March 16th at New Light Church at 1106 West Woodward in Fresno. And I'm hoping that those of you who can't attend will attend. And it has just come to my attention, wow, that I really did not give out the phone number for tonight. So you see what terrible host I am at this. But I hope that's not going to stop you from listening in future, and I hope I can get all my technical difficulty bugs worked out. And I hope and wish a good evening for all of you, and take care. I'm signing off. Good night.